Welcome back to part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 1991. Jerry Starr is in with a special look at the lifting of the AM freeze. Phil Wayne with Market Scope. John Falker with Historical Moments in Radio. And I'll tell you what's going on with Domestic DX Digest. That's all for you. Bill Hale is on vacation. This is Fred Wilby sitting in on the Domestic DX Digest. More reports that CIAO 790 in Brampton, Ontario has moved from 790 to 530 have come in. One report from Jim Renfrew of Rochester, New York, and another from Morris Sorensen of Scarborough, Ontario, indicates that as of the middle of October, they were on 530, but running parallel with the 790 outlet until the audience caught on. By the way, CIAO, when using their slogans, is pronounced chow, so listen for that. Down in the DX on 530. Morris also reports DXing WJFK 1300 in Baltimore, Maryland, the old WLIF with rock music and mentioning Block Party Weekend here on WJFK. Jim Bagg of Springfield, Massachusetts reports that WREB at 960 in Holyoke has been off the air since mid-October and hasn't gotten any answers to his telephone calls. Henry Cotterill of Jr. of Milford, Pennsylvania says that he has read that WINS 1010 in New York City is considering the purchase of WRNJ 1000 in Hackensown, New Jersey, in order to alleviate problems with daytime coverage in northern New Jersey area, which is caused by all the new buildings constructed since they have come on the air way back when. Henry didn't say whether the plan includes taking WRNJ off the air and adjusting their pattern or to simulcast WINS programming. So watch out for further developments here on the DX Audio Service. Henry also sent word that WDLC 1490 in Port Jervis, New York is now simulcasting with WTSX FM 96.7 from midnight to 0600 hours. If you hear the slogan Star FM on 1490, it's probably them. Harold Frodge reports that WUNI 1440 in Bay City, Michigan is now IDing as Tri-Cities Christian Radio, WUNI Bay City Saginaw Midland, Uni 1440. Their schedule is from 0600 to midnight. This is the former WBCM. Harold DX is from Midland, Michigan. Todd Roberts from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina is into Medfer beacons and has reported many of these. Medfer, that's medium frequency experimental radio station beacons, are allowed under Part 15 of the FCC rules. They are unlicensed, must operate between 5:30 and 17:05, with a power not to exceed 100 milliwatts into an antenna up to 3 meters long. These are the same rules which cover wireless mics and phono oscillators. Operators of these stations send a standard format of 2 or 3 letter call in slow CW, then repeat it continuously like other beacons. A VFO is required on a good receiver in order to hear these guys. Just another facet of the strange hobby of ours. Here are some of Todd's Medfer loggings. Listen to them. On 1638.8 kilohertz, the call SEA from Warm Springs, Georgia. The station was heard with call letters in 5 words per minute code. The station runs 100 milliwatts. On 1640.1 kilohertz, the call DAW from Greer, South Carolina. This station was reported running 100 milliwatts, and the code ID was transmitted at 4 words per minute. At 1640.7 kilohertz, the call EDJ was heard at 5 words per minute from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Power on this one is also 100 milliwatts. Finally, at 1647.7, the call sign HI from Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia was heard at 5 words per minute at 100 milliwatts. Well, that's all for this month. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next month. And hopefully we'll have Bill Hale back from his snake hunt and have a whole lot more here on the DX Audio Service. Let's flip it now over to Phil Wayne with a look at Market Scope.
Hello once again, DXers. Phil Wayne back at you with Market Scope. Now, last month, we stopped right in the middle of Denver's AM dial. So now, we rejoin the gentleman who's been patiently waiting with his index finger on the pause control, Wayne Heinen.
Oh, beautiful you on KLMO. Well, what are you doing today? Making your St. Patty's weekend plans? Of course, big parade down in Denver tomorrow. On AM 1060, more KLMO country music, Heart Full of Love.
That's KLMO 1060. They're included in the Denver Boulder market. They're in North Boulder County, and for the most part, they're basically a farm and ranch oriented station. The problems that you heard with the signal are caused primarily because they're sitting 30 KC away from KYBG 1090, and I'm located about 4 air miles from KYBG's transmitter, 50 kilowatts non-directional, and KLMO is using 10 kilowatts non-directional. And even with the loop, it's kind of difficult to get rid of all of the pops and splashes and stuff that come out of KBIG on 1090.
Value pricing and care plus at Phil Long Ford, the value store, just south of Hamden and Kipling. Barry Smith is taking your calls now at 863-1090. Sports Talk with Theory on KBIG.
Welcome back, and again, coming to you from Newsland and Dr. Blue.
KYBG 1090 has had, I think, 6 calls since I moved to Colorado in 1975 with a variety of formats, ranging from big bands to light rock. They took a stab at all news, and now they've gone to primarily a sports talk format, mostly local. They do use the overnight services, some of the other sports network talk programs on their overnight show. They have started to appear in the Denver Metro book, which is a little bit different than what it used to be under some of the former call letters when they didn't show up with any audience share. From KBIG, we're going to go down and try and see if we can get a ID, at least, out of one of Denver Metro's 3 Hispanic stations. The Hispanic market is small but dedicated, and at this time there is a fight going on between 3 different stations trying to capture their share of that market and, of course, the advertising revenue. Then the first place we're going to stop is 1150 KFRR. That's the station that swapped frequencies with KRZN 760 back about a year and a half ago. The swap was to allow KRZN to get actually better day and night coverage eventually when they get their 50 kilowatt CP on the air for 760. So we'll take a look down there and see if we can get a little ID out of KFRR as our move up the dial here in Denver metro area.
También queremos invitarlos a que participen todos los muchachos de high school en este nuevo concurso que tenemos, que vamos a estar regalando becas para el metro.
KFRR, Englewood, Radio Fuego.
Noticias CRC Cadena Radio Centro. Les informa María Asunción Guerrero.
From there we go to 1190 is a channel that in the past, under both the calls of KBCO and KADE, has had tests for the NRC in the past. Part of the reason for that is that it was owned by a man who was in the NRC for a number of years named Bob Greenlee, who recently sold the AM and FM complex for a reported $26 million. The current program director is a guy named John Bradley, who I had the pleasure of knowing when he lived in Colorado Springs, was just getting out of high school. He also was a member of the National Radio Club back in the mid-70s. They're basically an album-oriented rock station, and one that I listen to occasionally both on AM and FM. I listen to it on AM when I'm at work because that's all we have in our county vehicles, our AM radios. So we'll take a little trip down to 1090 and see what, or excuse me, 1190 and see what is happening over at KBCO.
To Music Hour on 97.3 KBCO with Joni Mitchell from the new album Night Ride Home and Come In From the Cold. Here's Tom Petty.
They're 100% simulcast. About the only time you hear 1190 or AM mentioned would be right at the top of the hour. And like I said, they're one of the most popular stations here in town. They do have some competition now on the FM side with the new KDHT, which is actually licensed, I believe, to Frederick, Colorado. But they service the Denver metropolitan area with a similar format, even a little bit more on the folk side, with a lot more acoustic music. They go by a slogan of acoustic rock. From here, we'll take a trip up to 1220 to listen to Radio Bueno. There was a rumor recently that Kay Bueno was filing for bankruptcy. And I have watched the papers and really haven't seen anything. It was supposed to be a Chapter 7 liquidation. And I haven't seen anything where they've changed hands or anything, so I don't know what the whole story is there. From 1220, we'll pop on up to 1280. That's where we have another one of our simulcasters, AM and FM. KXKL is the call, and you generally don't hear that. You'll hear Cool Gold, FM 105. They've been simulcasting 100% ever since they were bought out. They were at one time KTLK, which was a rocker, and from there they went to KBRQ, which was a classic country type of a format, and they were just unable to compete, and they tried this oldies format. And it's a local oldies, even though they use the Cool Gold slogan. It's not a one of the Satellite Music Network feeds. And it, they've got some interesting personalities on there, and they do some interesting contests and promotions every once in a while. So we'll go take a look at 1280, the Cool Gold sound from Metro Denver.
And the Marvelettes with Randy J. And please, Mr. Postman, don't forget about Finnegan's. We're at 16th and Court of the Radisson and still serving. In fact, they'll remain serving the rest of the day. So if you couldn't get away for lunch, if you're working just too darned hard in the office, don't we all? I know I do, slaving over a hot turntable all day. So come on down here and join us for that, and we'd love to see you. 16th and Court, easy to find. We'll check Cool 105 radar weather and do one from Mr. Garfunkel and Mr. Simon next on Cool 105.
Continuing on up the band, the next one we'll try and get a hold of here is KDEN 1340.
Down by the Auraria campus, look out for an accident westbound 7th Street at Auraria Parkway. Looks like a pickup slammed into a 4x4. The Apple Macintosh 2CI, everything you're looking for in a personal computer, powerful, expandable, affordable, and available at Connecting Point of Boulder. Lee Frank, Metro Traffic.
Partly cloudy and 43 degrees in Denver. Good afternoon, I'm Percy Law on the KDEN.
They're currently using the Financial News Network, and occasionally we'll have things from that network on, as well as feeds from ABC and occasionally AP, and they usually have their own newscasters doing the news, weather, and the sports. So from here, it's down to the last of the Hispanic stations, La Jota, KJME on 1380.
Tocando la marcha de Zacatecas por primera vez por Downtown Denver. Tráigase a toda la familia. Conozca al staff de la Jota Mexicana. Estará la estrella de la Jota Mexicana, Tony Guerrero, en una de las unidades. ¡No falte!
Ahora aquí en la Jota Mexicana, Juan José Cruz. Con todo el impacto musical que se merece.
Aquí en la Jota Mexicana faltan ahora solamente 24 minutos ya para las 14.
Going up the dial from 1390, we will be parking on 1430 in a little bit to hear KEZW. KEZW is the your basic big band station, or it was. They are now intermixing a little bit more of the music of the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s, the light rock type stuff like we heard on KRZN, the variety of music is designed to appeal to a little bit more than the older audience that they've had. So we'll be just going up a little bit north here to Aurora. This station is also a license to the city of Aurora, although you'd never know it except on the hour when the legal ID is given. So we'll be back in just a bit, little bit with some KEZW.
KEZW.
That dead air that was there was actually meant to be there. It's a combination of a satellite type of a feed that is busted in at the board. So when you listen to the station over and over and over again, you kind of get used to the disjointedness of the ending of something, and anywhere from 10 seconds to as long as 30 seconds worth of dead air before somebody punches up the next cart. So it's kind of strange, but they do have a corner on the over 55 market. They are the number one station in that demographic area here in the Denver Metro, on the AM, that is. But my friend who's a salesman over there is still looking for a different job with a different company. From here, we'll go down to Small Town Radio for the city of Boulder, KBOL on 1490.
Jeff Michael here, and I will be here this coming Saturday night, long about 8:05, when it's time for the good sounds of jazz, and I'd like to invite you to be here too. I'll have Dionne Warwick, along with the Spinners. Bebo Bryson will be by, some music from Spyro Gyra. And we'll even listen in for Etta James and her latest, along with Shadow Facts. Hope you can come by and join us for the good sounds of jazz this coming Saturday night from 8:05 to midnight. In the meanwhile, keep a good thought in your mind and have yourself a real good week, okay? Bye for now. We'll see you on Saturday night. Enjoy what's coming your way on KBOL 1490 in Boulder.
I'm about 50 miles from Boulder, so KBOL is daytime here. In fact, I had to cut the bandwidth filter on the 390 down to 8KC to get a decent signal, because right next door, 20KC away, is our urban contemporary station for the Denver Metro, KDKO on 1510.
KDKO, Littleton, Denver. KDKO.
From here, we've got two more left. Go down to 1550 for one of our lesser-known religious stations. This is one of the ones where they have the little booth at the station. You walk in with your tape, give them your check, and they'll play your half an hour sermon from your local church. KQXI 1550, which is actually licensed to the city of Arvada.
Bob Agnew, USA Radio Network News.
Music from the heart and anointed teaching on Denver's Christian Radio, AM 1550, KQXI.
From Dallas, Texas, via satellite, this is Point of View.
That noise that you heard was actually being broadcast by KQXI. They're running out of a double-wide trailer over actually in North Englewood, right on the Englewood-Denver border. They've got a trailer there and a little tower that's set in a field that actually belongs to the city of Englewood, and it's kind of like the leach field for the Englewood wastewater treatment plant. The ground system over there, shall we say, is rather damp, And they tend to get out quite well with their 10 kilowatts. And at night, they're running somewhere around 100 to 150 watts. I'm not sure of the exact power. We'll go down to the end of the dial and take a listen to Denver's KRXY Y108.
Denver's best mix, Y108, means more music. Playing more than 50 minutes of music every hour.
Thanks, Wayne. Happy Thanksgiving and good DX. My time's up. And now the guy on I-40 doing 27 miles per hour in the high-speed lane, John Bowker.
Historical moments in radio. A brief look at instances in the development of radio broadcasting that helped shape this exciting industry. And this month, we're going to be learning about a few of the stations that signed on the air for the very first time during the months of December over the years. But first, I'd like to continue for a moment with a side of broadcasting initiated by WNEW in New York that you might not be aware of. Now, you'll remember that last month, my reading from a few pages of the book entitled WNEW, Where the Melody Lingers On. It was printed in 1983. This month, we're going to learn about the origin of the concept of disc jockeys. Now, to set the scene, we have to go back a few years. Do you recall that Colonel Charles Lindbergh was a national hero? He was the first man to fly alone across the Atlantic in the 1920s. And the nation was shocked when his infant son was kidnapped and later found murdered in New Jersey. When Bruno Hauptmann was accused of the crime and brought to trial, the country followed the proceedings on a day-to-day basis through the radio, newspapers and magazines, and newsreels, too, in the theaters. Now, the manager of WNEW, a woman named Bernice Judis, J-U-D-I-S, decided to present live remote coverage of the trial from Flemington, New Jersey. And a reporter and an engineer were sent there, where they broadcast from a men's room in the courthouse. Now, laugh if you will, but a vast New York audience sat fascinated by WNEW's reports. It was the only coverage from inside the courthouse building in Flemington. Now, it just so happened that Bernice Judis had recently hired a young man from California named Martin Block. He had showed up on her doorstep, asked for an interview, and asked for an audition. She had him read some straight commercials, which he did very well, and then she handed him a pencil to describe. Martin Block kept talking about the pencil for nearly 20 minutes. He was hired on the spot at a salary of $25 a week. Now we come back to Flemington, New Jersey, in the courthouse. You can imagine that during the trial there were long periods of time between news bulletins. Martin Block was the announcer who had been sent there. And he suggested to Bernice Judis that he fill the gaps of time with recorded music played by the nation's leading bands. Judis agreed, and within half an hour, Block had run down the street in Flemington, bought 6 records from the corner music store, and on February 3rd, 1935, the Make-Believe Ballroom was on the air. Block's intimate style captivated the listeners, and from a 15-minute experimental program, the show was quickly expanded to 90 minutes, winning immediate success and making Make-Believe Ballroom a new era in broadcasting. In fact, at the height of its popularity, the Make-Believe Ballroom program commanded an astonishing 25% of the listening audience in New York against strong network competition. Martin Block once estimated that he played 365,000 records during the 21,500 hours he hosted the Make-Believe Ballroom for WNEW until he left there in 1954. Now, it should go, although this is not part of the WNEW story, it should not be overlooked that there were at least 2 other Make-Believe Ballroom programs, equally successful, one in Los Angeles hosted by Al Jarvis on KHJ, if memory serves me right, and one in Montreal, hosted by Don Cameron of CJAD. Those programs and others like them that used recorded music led to the statement on most record labels that you may have seen over the years, not licensed for radio broadcast. That was done by the Musicians Union to be sure that they didn't undercut the use of live musicians in radio stations that had been historically the fact for the past 15 years. It was WNEW's lawyers who had that ruling repealed, so that the ruling put the disc jockey for the first time on a secure legal footing, and many radio stations went to full-time use of recorded music for their program fare. And that's WNEW, a real leader in American broadcasting. You know, Decembers have seen some terrific radio stations sign on the air over the years. December 15th, 1924, KOA in Denver came on the air for the first time. And 5 days later, KAAY in Little Rock signed on. WBMD in Baltimore signed on the 750 slot in 1947, but nowhere was there more welcome sound signing on the air during December than on December 13th, 1958, in Ellsworth, Maine, when WDEA occupied the 1370 frequency for the first time. For Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr returning with a DX Audio Service special report on the lifting of the AM freeze. Back in March of 1990, the FCC instituted a freeze on accepting applications for new AM stations and a freeze on accepting applications for major changes to existing AM stations. The reason was twofold. First of all, they were starting a study on an AM improvement plan and didn't want to do anything until that study was completed. They also were buried in paperwork and needed a breathing period to get through what they had before they got any more. Well, it looks like the AM freeze is now going to end sometime in January. The FCC has issued its order on the AM band improvements and also its expansion. The freeze will be lifted legally 70 days after that order is published in the Federal Register. Now, according to our information, that order was issued on the 25th of October, so by our calculations, the freeze will be lifted sometime before the end of January of 1992. While this will open the door for many anxious AM owners to apply for improvements and changes to their facilities, the process of accepting applications for the new expanded AM band from 1600 to 1700 kilohertz will probably not begin until sometime later in 1992. New forms for such applications need to be approved and printed and distributed, and as usually is the case with the federal government, this process could move at a very snail-like pace. It looks like the FCC will allocate around 300 stations in the expanded portion of the band, most of which will augment or replace existing operations. Stations with a spot on the new band will have at least 5 years to simulcast on both their present frequency and their new frequency in the expanded band. The FCC will judge requests for new allocations in the expanded band on three priorities. Number one, full-time stations seeking to reduce interference they might cause or receive by moving to the new band. Two, daytimers wishing to provide a first full-time service to communities with populations of 100,000 or more. And three, daytime stations seeking to reduce interference they cause or receive. Now, at present, it appears the new band will be open only to existing stations with no provisions for new startups. According to an article in R&R Magazine, at least two FCC commissioners have objected to reserving the entire expanded band to existing broadcasters and have issued statements urging some provisions for new entrants. According to the FCC, 361 AM stations have already filed letters expressing an interest in moving to the new band. These letters, however, will have no bearing on the actual allotment since they were simply filed in response to the FCC's request for comments. So interesting things could be happening real soon, although the expanded band activities may see further delays. The applications for major changes to existing facilities and applications for new stations in the existing AM band should be popping soon. So keep listening to AM Switch and to the DX Audio Service for more information. But our guess is the AM freeze will end sometime before the end of January. Fred?
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Well, while we're picking up the pieces with Grandma, let's listen to the Musings from Members column. The opinions expressed in the Musings from Members are not necessarily those of the National Radio Club, its club sponsors, or editors.
Well, hello, audio service members. This is Marty Rimpaugh with a brief note. We had a format change here on October 23rd, it's now October 30th, just after 3 p.m., but last Wednesday, October 23rd, Coffee, KOFY, longtime oldie station, since 1986, first with a live oldies format, then with Cool Gold, went Spanish. That's right, James Gabbert gave his last show Tuesday morning, the 22nd from 6 to 10. The radio station signed off and then signed on the air again Wednesday the 23rd with the Spanish format. Also, I want to say I've also heard a Mexican radio station at 760 clashing with KFMB, XCNY Radio Henny from Nogales, Sonora, with 5,000 watts. Is it ever strong? Anyway, that's all for now.
Good morning, Fred. Good afternoon, Fred. And to all DX Audio subscribers, this is Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts. On October 31st, happy Halloween to all. About 3 weeks ago, WLVG changed their call letters at 740 on the dial to WWEA Earth Radio. This is in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They are oldies, country, all kinds of stuff. The best smorgasbord of songs in the Boston area. I've been trying to reach the action line for the past 3 weeks, but without avail, so this is the first time you've heard about it. That is all I have. Thank you.
Hi, this is Greg Jack in Olympia, Washington. It's been a while since I've used this thing. We've talked about radio stations relaying TV news, but I don't think we've ever talked about TV stations relaying TV news. Channel 22, KZZT, I believe it is, in Seattle, at 10 o'clock relays the news from KIRO television, Channel 7. So you can hear Channel 7's newscast on Channel 22 at 10, or you can hear Channel 7's newscast on Channel 7 at 11 o'clock. And I thought that was really kind of strange. I think it's to compete with Channel 11, which is also an independent, which runs its own newscast at 10 o'clock, and I think that's why Channel 22 probably did it. I know that's not AM news, but what the heck. Anyway, advanced happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and we'll see you later.
This is Tom Likens calling from Louisa, Kentucky, and I am conducting a feasibility study to see if there would be any interest for a recorded version of the American Scanner the American Scannergram, better known used to be as the All Ohio Scanner Club. This magazine would be recorded on the NLS format using a C90 cassette. And if anyone has information, either send me a braille letter cassette to Tom Likens, Louisa, Kentucky, or you may phone me at 606-638-4735. It would not be sent free matter, as advertising will be included in the magazine. If you are interested, and if there is enough interest, let me know. On my project for getting QST in Braille, there was not enough response to warrant the cost of it. So thanks a lot, Fred, and we'll see you later.
Hi there, Mike Dukin from Ladysmith, Wisconsin. And, well, if you like the DX Audio service and you just can't get enough of DX news and stuff like that, you have a weekly fix now. We have three DX programs back-to-back on, of all things and places, WWCR in Nashville, Tennessee. If you like Glenn Hauser's program, World of Radio, you can hear it at 10:05 Central Time. That's followed by a new program called Signals, which started around the first Saturday of October. And it's a great program because not only do they have DX News, but they have several features such as the M Street Journal, which is a publication, and they will tell you about format changes, the latest format changes, and the latest AM and FM stations that have recently come on the air. And they also have a satellite report called Birdwatch, and a report for people that use scanners, and the latest happenings on the pirate radio front. And that comes on at 10:35, and that's on for an hour. And then that's followed by something called Crossbands, which is originally from Radio New York International from a guy named Big Steve Cole, and that's pretty good too. So you get your weekly DX fix back-to-back on three programs on WWCR in Nashville. A couple of changes, not so much in my local area, but a couple of things happening. WSPO in Stevens Point, Wisconsin on 1010 around the first part of October switched from the Satellite Music Network's Pure Gold format to the to a news and talk format. They bring talk programs from that god-awful Sun Radio network. And around August, we have KDHL in Faribault, Minnesota on 920. They kind of have a regional network. They feed programming to KWMB in Wabasha, Minnesota on 1190, and they both bring the same programs except for an hour a day around 9 o'clock in the morning when the Wabasha station brings their own local news and features for that area in western Wisconsin along the Mississippi River. Well, that's it.
Hi, this is Greg Jack in Olympia, Washington. I just called to tell you people that KTOL in Lacey is back on the air at 1280. They are doing a synchronous transmission with KJUN in Puyallup, of all places. The fidelity is definitely a little bit shaky. There's a lot of splatter to it. And they're doing a country oldies format. They're calling themselves the Country Oldies Network. And they have infamous people on there like Cousin Ed and the Cajun Cowboy. So it's interesting in the sense that KJUN, I think, has been around for several years. And so most of your commercials at this point are pretty well oriented to Tacoma or Puyallup or pretty much any place except for Olympia and Lacey and Tumwater. The KTOL, the TOL stands for Tumwater, Olympia, and Lacey. I have this really interesting question. It's not AM related, but I'd really like to find out what's going on. I was flipping by on my GE Super Radio. It's equipped with subcarrier, and I was flipping by looking for the radio routing service. And what I landed on was an oldie station that was doing a request program and was taking phone calls, which is pretty normal. What wasn't normal was that you would hear the phone call, both sides of it, on the subcarrier. You wouldn't hear any ringing or anything, but you would hear the phone call while the song was playing on the normal FM carrier, side of the carrier. So basically what you would hear is you would just hear these phone calls, and if he wasn't taking any phone calls, then you just wouldn't hear anything on the subcarrier, and then the next phone call would come up, and then you would hear the phone call. So basically what I want to know is, does this happen? I've never heard of this happening before, and I was just kind of wondering what was going on. This is Greg in Olympia. If anybody knows anything about it, let me know. This is pretty weird. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to everybody later.
And if you have something to say, something on your mind, give us a call on the Action Line, area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day is the telephone number. Quick reminder to our National Radio Club members, I'd like to mention that don't give out that telephone number to anyone who's not a National Radio Club member. For the last 2 months, we've had a problem where, well, this month here, three-quarters of the Action Line was calls from people who are not NRC members, either requesting to have somebody call them back with information so they can talk about the audio service or asking for sample copies. That's not what the line is intended for. And unfortunately, we just had to bulk off the cassette and stick it back in there because otherwise we would have missed several muses from members because of it. So that line is not to be used for callbacks. In fact, it doesn't get checked until 2 days prior to when we publish the audio service. And it's not for asking for samples or asking for callbacks. If anyone needs to get information, just write to us at Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024. But don't give it on the action line. Speaking of muses, I'd like to mention to some of our people that are broadcasters a nice topic for our next edition on The Muse. How about a funny story, something funny that has happened to you as a broadcaster at your station? It can either be listener-related or engineering or just an inside joke, a funny prank that somebody has pulled on you, okay? And for those of you that are not broadcasters, tell us something funny you've heard on a radio station. How's that for a muse? We'll see what kind of trouble we can get into on the January 1992 edition of the DX Audio Service. And speaking of getting into trouble, catchy segue, huh? We kind of got into trouble with our After Dark series of cassette. If you remember, we put out a series called After Dark, which was a C90 cassette, and it was recorded at 15/16 inches per second. I thought that it would really bomb, that no one would want it. However, sales were overwhelming. A lot of people purchased it. However, we also got a lot of complaints from people that do not have 15/16 IPS recorders or players. And what we're going to do is going to see if we can re-engineer the tape and re-record it into the faster speed format, standard cassette speed format, and offer that as a special in the month of January. However, in January, we're also coming out with After Dark number 2, and we're doing it a little bit different. It will be a four-cassette C90 package, four C90 cassettes in a binder, and it will contain a lot of information, including the first tape will be nothing but a special 50-year salute to the Voice of America. I was down in to Bethany, Ohio, and talked with John Vodnik, who is one of the engineers of the VOA transmission plant in Bethany, and we talked for almost 2 hours on a variety of topics from the VOA to shortwave DXing and a lot of stuff. Interesting cassette, and at the end we'll even have a schedule of all the VOA broadcasts and frequencies. And we have a lot of other things on the other three cassettes. So that's the After Dark number 2, which will be coming out roughly around New Year's, and we'll probably have some information on it just around the time we go out to press with the January 1992 edition of the DX Audio Service. Crazy Ken, he's at it again. I ordered some cassettes for January, put down in the purchase order that I needed X amount of tapes. Somehow an extra zero got in the quantity column, and he ordered some more. So I've got lots of tapes here. We got to move out of our present position here in the next 30 days and get all this stuff out. So we've got a special on cassettes for limited time only. We have these cassettes available to National Radio Club members only for 88 cents in lots of 25 and 84 cents in lots of 50. Now, you save over $3.12 or more over the regular retail price of these music-grade cassettes that we have here. $22 for 25 or $42 for 50 cassettes. And how do you order them? Well, send your order in to Crazy Ken at National Radio Club Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661-0164. The cassette column is just starting to come in here, and if you'd like to trade air check cassettes with somebody, all you got to do is send me that information on a postcard, preferably, or a single side piece of paper clearly typed so I can read it here. And we have one thing here to pass along on the air check column. And it's from John Bowker. John writes, swapping tapes. I would be delighted to swap cassette tapes of any duration, provided that the swapper will provide legal IDs of AM stations, plus up to a minute or so either side of the ID. I will swap portions of my C90s along with an index that will compile on a daily basis as we drive across the country. Of course, ultimately, all my IDs will appear on the travelog or otherwise be available from the National Radio Club. But that process will take years to do. So if you'd like to trade air check tapes with John Bowker, here's his address. Post Office Box 1279, Valparaiso, Indiana, 46384. Okay? Now, on our little contest we're running, nominations for the Station of the Year. You got just less than 30 days to get them in. How do you do it? Okay, first of all, we're looking for a single station, one nominee per member. Nominations are based on the following criteria. The station has to provide some type of service which you feel is beneficial to the area. They have to do something which is good. They have to sound good. They have to stand out above the rest of the market. If you know of a station which really does that, is really a good-sounding station, provides a service, and is really beneficial to the community and does a great job, send us your nomination plus a brief statement, and if possible, send us a small cassette with some of their programming on it, which we can use and play back for a vote from the membership, okay? We have one nomination in, written only, and the nomination reads, I would like to nominate KKOB as Outstanding Station. Not only do they provide live remotes from the balloon festival, but all the pilots of the hot air balloons, 650 of them, received their instructions via KKOB since they were spread out over 100-plus acres, and there were not enough CBs or business frequencies available. So I would like to nominate KKOB 770 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Get your nominations in. One vote or one nominee has been cast. Okay? Now, one last bit of information to pass on to the membership before we get out of here is that if you'd like to send a gift of the National Radio Club's DX audio service to someone, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is give us their name, their address, city, state, zip, and send a check along for $25 for a one-year subscription to the National Radio Club, Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024. Be sure to drop a note in there or attach it to the check so we know who it's from, and also any special message that you'd like to send along with that. And we'll send them a special package advising them that they receive this as a Christmas gift. Do it today. And that wraps up this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 1991. We'll see you next year, actually in 30 days, on the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.